ಓಂ ನಮಃ ಪ್ರಣವಾಥಾಯ ಶುದ್ಧಜ್ಞಾನೈಕಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಿರ್ಮಲಾಯ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ನಿರಂಜನಂ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಅನಂತರೂಪಂ ಭಕ್ತಾನುಕಂಪಾತ್ ಸದವಿಗ್ರಹಂ ವೈ ಈಶಾವತಾರಂ ಪರಮೇಶಮೀಢ್ಯಂ ತಂ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಶಿರಸಾ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಯಥಾಗ್ನೇರ್ದಾಹಿಕಾ ಶಕ್ತಿ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣೇತಿ ತಾಹಿಯ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾಸ್ವರೂಪಾಂತ ಸಾರದಾಂ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮ್ಯಹಂ. ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ಸ್ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕಪಾಣಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತದುಗೇ ನಮಃ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾ. ಸಜಹಾತಿ ಯತಾ ಕಾಮಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ಪಾರ್ಥ ಮನೋಗತಾನ್ ಆತ್ಮನ್ನೇವಾತ್ಮನಾ ತುಷ್ಟಃ ಸ್ಥಿತಃ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಸ್ತದೋಚ್ಯತೆ. ದುಃಖೇಷ್ವನುದ್ವಿಗ್ನಮನಾಃ ಸುಖೇಷು ವಿಗತಸ್ಪೃಹಃ ವೀತರಾಗ ಭಯ ಕ್ರೋಧಃ ಸ್ಥಿತಧೀರ್ ಮುನಿರುಚ್ಯತೆ. ಯಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರಾನಭಿಸ್ನೇಹಃ ತತ್ತತ್ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ಶುಭಾಶುಭಂ ನಾಭಿನಂದದಿ ನ ದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿ ತಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾ ಪ್ರತಿಷ್ಠಿತಾ. ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಎ ಸ್ಥಿರ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞ ಎ ಜ್ಞಾನಿ. ಪೂರ್ಣತ್ವ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ರೈಟೀರಿಯನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎ ಜ್ಞಾನಿ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹೀ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ಆಲ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಶುದ್ಧ ಕಾಮ. ಹೀ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎನಿ ಇನ್ ಅಡಕ್ವಸಿ ಇನ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. He may work out of Purnatvam, but he doesn't work for the sake of Purnatvam. Because of this Purnatvam, he is free from desires, he is free from Udvegaha, anxiety, he is free from Spruha, and he is free from Ragaha, that is attachment, he is free from fear and free from Krodaha. In the last shloka, Bhagavan explained that a jnani, though he moves with all, but he is not attached to anyone. Yaha sarvatra anabhisnehaha. Generally, an ajnani's mind is with whatever object he is connected or with whichever person or situation he is connected, he has a weakness called attachment, ragaha. It is like that person is poured with full of gum. Gum abhisheka has done. So after that, wherever he goes and sits, that is sticking him. But a jnani is, though he moves with all, he doesn't have attachment to anyone. With regard to all things and all people and all situations, even to his own life and body, health of the body, he doesn't have any attachment. Attachment, one is ragaha, another is dveshaha. Both are attachments. One is positive attachment, another is negative attachment. Jnani is free from this psychological gum. He moves with everyone, loves everyone, but still he doesn't miss anyone. When you study Ramayana, we can see the practical person about whom this Gita is talking. One of the commentators says, Bhagavan followed all these things in the previous avatara, as Rama avatara, with all confidence. Now he is telling all these things. If you take Ramji's life, he moved with all types of people, civilized people in his city, loving parents and a highly educated rishis and a tribal friend, Guha, even Rakshasas, Vibhishana, and even monkeys, animals. All of them had an unconditional love towards him. But when time comes, he moves from each group one by one. He moved from his parents, he moved from his civilized citizens, he got away from rishis. Jnani may have all those things, people, object and conducive situation. He may possess them, but he doesn't need them for his fulfillment. When a person needs something, he cannot be called as a possessor, but he is a possessed person. I need something, therefore I depend upon that thing. Then I am not the possessor of that thing. I am not at will to get away from that possessed object. I am possessed object. So that thing becomes the possessor, like an addictive, drug addictive. Initially, he is the possessor of the drugs. Afterwards, he is possessed by the drugs. But a jnani is not a possessed person. He is always a possessor. Absence of any person or his object did not make his life a meaningless one. Individual life, general person's life is, if so and so person is with me, then my life is meaningful. If child is with me, my life is meaningful. If spouse is with me, my life is meaningful. Otherwise, entire life becomes a meaningless one for that ajnani. As far as jnani is concerned, he knew that life is alone to alone. I came alone in this world. In between, I had to relate with everyone. But my life is always alone to alone. That knowledge he had. Whatever way the life came to Bhagavan Rama, he accepted it and moved forward. He was not carried away by any situation, either by comforts or discomforts. That's what here Bhagavan says. Tat tat prapya shubha shubham na abhinandati na dveshti. Shubham prapya na abhinandati, ashubham prapya na dveshti. Shubham means favorable situations, glories, etc. Did not carry away his intellect. Ashubham prapya vanavasa could not make him unhappy. He told vanavaso hi mahodayaha. And Sita apaharanam could not throw him off from life. He responded to situations properly with samatva buddhi. Generally, ordinary person responds to the situations in two ways. One is impulsive response. Impulsive, mechanical. Somebody scolds, he also starts scolding. Somebody gives a beating, he also gives a beating. Ordinary person. So a mechanical response, you throw a stone at the dog, it barks. This is a mechanical response. Second one is meek surrender to the situation. Unintelligent inaction. Simple problem can shatter this person, and he surrendered to that situation very meekly. But a jnani responds to the situation in a deliberate and thoughtful way. First, he analyzes the situation and finds out whether it is a choiceful situation or choiceless situation. If it is choiceful situation, he acts deliberately. When Sita was taken away by Ravana, when he heard from Jatayu that Sita was taken away, he did not surrender to Ravana. He came to know that it is a choiceful situation, I can search for it. And I have the capacity to conquer Ravana. With that confidence, he acted deliberately. If it is choiceless situation, he accepted. Vanavasa, when it came to him, just one, without any information, prior information, suddenly when Kaikeyi, mother Kaikeyi told that you have to go to forest in order to establish your father in truth, immediately he accepted. Because as far as Rama is concerned, giving up truth, attaining anything is useless. Giving up the dharma, attaining anything in life is useless. Therefore, for the sake of dharma, I can go through any ordeals, any suffering. Therefore, he accepted vanavasa. Even when he had to kill someone, he did it deliberately. Don't think jnani is always with what you call showing their teeth or pleasing always. No, they had to take certain strong decisions for the sake of welfare of the society. they had to take wrong decisions, like a judge. He writes a judgment in which he writes that this person, this criminal, should be hanged unto death. How he writes? Not haphazardly, not according to his whims and fancies, not mechanically also. Any criminal brought, so hang him death, hang him death. He doesn't write. He is not bothered about the consequence. If the criminal is a very strong terrorist or somebody, he may be killed. A perfect judge writes a judgment with all deliberation, going through the process. Similarly, here also, the jnani goes through that process mentally and sees that he had to remove that person from the society. He does it. In Ramayana, we can see how Rama encountered Ravana. Before seeing him physically, he sent Hanuman, showing that one person in my group can come to your place and destroy the entire Lanka. And he could have even carried away my Sita on his back. Hanumanji says, "Mother, you come along with me, I will carry you to Rama." That much of powerful person, but still I am not going to cross my boundaries. It is up to you to know you have done a grave mistake. Therefore, I have given time to you to come and surrender to me. Then after reaching Sri Lanka also, he sends Angad second time. But still, Ravana could not change his mind. And he has proved his worth. We also can send some messengers, but if we are worthless, powerless people, the enemy need not surrender to us. He proved his worth. Physically, he proved his worth by building a bridge across the ocean. So who can build a bridge across the ocean? So he proved his worth. Then, even in war, he totally conquered Ravana. He could have killed that day itself. Still, Ramji gave one more day. Go today, I will not kill you. Think and come back tomorrow, whether you are right or wrong. So this much of what you call space is given. Generally, ajnani's life, an ignorant person's life is, there is no space. When situation comes, immediately this fellow either cries or gets angry. Either surrender, crying means surrendering to the situation. Getting angry means mechanical reactions. If you take Krishna also, towards Shishupala, what was his attitude? Shishupala had a different type of archana. A kshatriya can never hear those words. But Bhagavan, though he had the capacity to finish him off, but still 100 times he gave. What was the boon given to Shishupala's mother was, suppose Shishupala was going on scolding, 100 scolding should not come. So 90 scolding over. Then immediately the person stops and goes away. So that will be considered as one violation. Like that, 100 times he has forbearance. So there was a gap between the situation and the response. This is what is called samatva buddhi. Even while the jnani punishes the criminal, he is an embodiment of love and samatva. Like a judge, even while he punishes, he doesn't punish according to his whims and fancies or due to his anger. He sees the facts, so this person has done, and if he continues in the society, more harm will come to the society. With the deliberate, clear thinking, his responses. Therefore, ashubham prapya na dveshti, shubham prapya na abhinandati, tasya prajna pratishtita. His knowledge is a steady and firm knowledge. It is an unshaken knowledge. No situation in life can shake him. If you take Sri Ramakrishna, somebody came and told that Hriday did some mischief by worshipping a daughter of the owner of the temple. The owner of the temple was in those days he was called as a lower caste person, and Sri Ramakrishna and his relatives Hriday belonged to higher caste. A Brahmana worshipping a small girl as Divine Mother will bring ill omen to that girl. Afraid of that incident, Trailokyana, owner of the temple, told Hriday to get away from the Dakshineshwar complex. Somebody, while informing it, they told Sri Ramakrishna also had to get away from there. Sri Ramakrishna so far lived 25 years in that place. And for him, Mother, Divine Mother Kali is entire thing. He cannot imagine leaving that place. And the person, the present owner's father, Mathurinath Babu, was a disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. So much love and care he poured on Sri Ramakrishna. Without asking single word, he took a towel and simply went out. He did not know where to go also, but at the same time, neither he cried nor he waited for any verification or explanation of the situation. Simply, he went out. But afterwards, somebody informed Trailokyanath, Sri Ramakrishna is also going. Then Trailokyanath came and told, sorry, I did not tell this. You are Mahatma, you are Avatara Purush. Now praise has come. So Sri Ramakrishna could have given one lecture. Before telling anything, you should be very careful like that. Nothing at all. Acha? Okay. He came back. So, na abhinandati, na dveshti. You take Swamiji's life, both the extremes he faced. One side, people were worshipping him like God in human form in Western land after the Chicago speech. Another side, because of jealousy. Another side, lot of scandals against him, again about his personal character. But both these situations could not make Swamiji to get away from his life. So, to understand these shlokas, we have to read the lives of great Mahatmas. We will continue.
Yada sangharate chayam kurmongani vasarvashaha indriyani indriyathebhyaha tasya prajna pratishtita.
So far, Bhagavan talked about a jnani, a jnana nishta, a sthira prajna. From this shloka onwards, up to 68th shloka, from 58 to 68th shloka, 11 shlokas, he will talk about the sadhanas for converting the knowledge into a firm wisdom. Through shravana and manana, a qualified sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari will certainly get atma jnanam, will certainly get a cognitive change in his mind. Before coming to Vedanta, he has an innate idea, notion that I am so and so with limitation. I am so and so. That individuality of limitation was there in his mind. When he comes to Vedanta, Vedanta for the first time reveals that you are not body mind complex, you are not an individual, you are unlimited consciousness. This cognitive change in the form of that I am no more an individual with body mind complex, but I am infinite consciousness in which all the body mind complexes are living. This cognitive change comes. Before coming to Vedanta, he had lot of agenda lists in his mind that I am missing this, I am missing that, I am missing this, I want this, I want this. But after coming to Vedanta, he gains that knowledge that I am Purna Vastu. I cannot miss anything. Being infinite consciousness, I cannot miss anything. I am Purna Atma. I cannot miss anything. But this cognitive change is not enough to handle the life situation. This cognitive change should be converted as emotional strength. They call it Jnana to Jnana Nishta. It is not enough that you have money, either in your pocket or in your bank. You should be able to have access to that money whenever you are in need. Similarly, this knowledge should not be in my mind whenever I sit in meditation or whenever I hear Vedanta, then oh, yes, according to Vedanta I am Purnaha. No, it is not like that. Every moment of my life, every situation in my life should be handled as per the revelations of the Vedanta. Otherwise, this knowledge won't be helpful in our day-to-day life. One side, mind will tell, I am Purnaha, Purna Atma. Another side, mind will continue with its samsaric way of thinking. What are the samsaric way of thinking? That I am individual with a particular gender. I am going to die. I am getting old. People are not loving me. I am missing these things in my life. I had to achieve those things in my life. All this samsaric way of thinking will continue. And whenever you sit for meditation or come to class like this, you will remember that you are Purna Atma. Therefore, this prajna should be converted into stira prajna. It is like you have lighted a lamp in your mind, but that lamp should be a powerful fire. It should destroy all the samsaric thoughts. A small fire you create. Initially, what you do? There is a pile of cotton. A small fire you have created. Immediately you take pile of cotton, bag of cotton, and put the on the fire. What happens? Fire will go. So initially that fire should be protected, and it should be a huge conflagration of fire. Then only this cotton, called samsaric way of thinking, will be consumed by the fire. Sri Ramakrishna used to give one more example. A small plant should be protected from the cows and sheep. If it protected properly, when the plant grows as a tree, when the person is established in the new identity, when I am established in that new identity, then only I can handle the situation according to the new identity. Vedanta gives a new identity about myself. According to the new identity, no situation can overpower me. Similarly, here when the tree grows, become a huge tree, not even elephant can shake. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell, so breaking all these strong ideas about myself, wrong ideas, wrong notions, a person should have jnana nishta or stira prajna. For that, Bhagavan talks about three sadhanas. One is dhamaha, sensory control. Another is shamaha, mind control. Third one is nididhyasanam, Vedantic meditation. Why should I have sensory control? Before coming to Vedanta itself, as a spiritual seeker, as a devotee, I should have sensory control. Because as even I go towards the sense objects, I go away from the reality. As even I go towards the east, I am away from the west. Bhagavan is Nitya Vastu, world is Anitya Vastu. As even I am going towards the Anitya Vastu, I am getting away from the Nitya Vastu. Therefore, before coming to Vedanta itself, I should have practiced Dhammaha and Shamaha. Otherwise, the sense objects along with the sensory organs will create a tremendous emotions in the mind, which an Ajnani goes through every day. All types of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsaryadi emotions, that emotions will disturb the small fire called jnanam, which has come through shravanam and mananam. Therefore, a person should have sensory control along with mind control to regulate the thought process, avoiding all the unwanted things. How should I spend the time? In the Vedantic meditation. Vedantic meditation doesn't need you have to sit with closed eyes. It can be practiced in any posture. Just dwelling on the facts revealed by the Vedanta is called Vedantic meditation. By dwelling, this prajna converted as a stira prajna. I bring out all my samsaric way of thoughts in the light of Vedanta and see whether it deserves anything. Suppose mind says, I am going to die. So I bring out this concept of death in front of the Vedantic teaching. Vedanta says, na jayate mriyate va kadachit. Where you born to die? Deha has got birth. Now deha is going to die. Where is the question of your death? Like this, every samsaric way of thought which are in deep in our subconscious mind should be brought out, and consciously it should be analyzed in the light of Vedanta. That is called nididhyasanam. By that I own up my purnatva. So in this shloka, Bhagavan talks about the need for dhamma and shama, sensory control and mind control. He gives an example of a tortoise. If you observe a tortoise, it goes slowly, it moves. Whenever it finds a threat for its life, what it does? It cannot run away because it doesn't have that running capacity. Nor it can fight against the threat. Very soft creature it is. What it does? Simply withdraws all the four legs and head. And Bhagavan has given a protective shield called the shell, like a rock. You cannot do anything. So when an animal approaches this tortoise, simply this tortoise withdraws all the limbs, 5 limbs, 4 legs and 1 head. All the 5 limbs are withdrawn. So the animal comes and sees that, takes that this is a rock, it is not a living entity. So it goes away. When tortoise feels that there is no threat, makes out its limbs to come out, then slowly it goes. So it can withdraw its sense organ at its will, and at the same time it can work through those things. Similarly, yada ayam sadakaha indriyani indriyathebhyaha sarvashaha samharate. When a sadaka withdraws all his 5 sense organs from the sense objects at his will, tada tasya prajna pratishtita. Then only his prajna, his jnanam is well established. Then only he becomes a stira prajnaha. Then only his knowledge is converted as wisdom. Cognitive change is converted as emotional strength. A jnani's indriya nigraha is very very natural. A person who is established in the wisdom has gone through this stage already. Therefore, his indriya nigraha is very very natural, because he has burnt away all the samskaras in his mind. Samskaras in the form of desires, he has already burnt away all his vasanas, and sensory organs are like a horse, are at his control. He is a master in riding the chariot. Whereas sadaka's indriya nigraha is not a natural. Sadaka also should have indriya nigraha before coming to Vedanta itself, but it is not natural. It is a deliberate one. Therefore, he has to be very very alert. In the Upanishads, entire human life is compared to a journey. His body compared to a chariot, sense organs are compared to horses, that mind is compared to that rope, and the driver is compared to intellect. Yastu avijnanavan bhavati. If intellect is driver, is a drunkard driver, a deluded driver, with all connection with all terrorists, will the owner can go safely? So Vedanta says, keep your horses under your control by having mind and intellect under the control of the reality, jamanaha. If you fail to control it, then samsaram chadi gachati. From one samsara to another samsara. Because old vasanas are very very difficult to exhaust. We have in our mind that there is a value for every sense object. As long as this value exists in the mind, sadhaka should be very very careful. Every sense organ has a potential threat from the external world. Eyes have potential threat in the form of certain movies, certain books, so certain movies, certain entertainments, it can create such a confusion in mind, delusion in mind, as though whatever he is seeing is real. He can go to any extent to gain that certain things. So ears have danger in the form of sounds, certain words. Somebody says something, he has told that. Why should I have told that? He should not have told that. Goes on ringing in the mind, creating emotional problems. And the tongue has certain taste of certain food items, certain drinks. Tongue has 2 types of problems. One is ingoing, another is outcome. You should be very careful in uttering certain words. Then nose, certain smell which can provoke strong emotions, either raga or dvesha. And touch, certain relationships which can provoke lust, which can provoke sexual passions. So these are all the threats for the sense organ of the seeker, mind you. Sense objects are called vishayaha. Vishayaha means objects which can kill. Object means a vastu. In Ishvara Srishti, it is an ordinary object. But for a person who is having desire for that, it becomes Vishaya. Vishaya means what? Visha. Visha means poison. A person who has understood the futility of the finite objects in the world, one who has come to Vedanta after gaining enough maturity that everything whatever I am going to gain in this world happen to be a finite entity. By gaining finite entity, I am not going to claim my natural freedom. Therefore, my natural freedom I should claim in the form of knowledge. And I know the value of this knowledge. For me, these objects happen to be the threat. Therefore, for a sadhaka should be very careful with regard to all the situations, objects and people. And he should avoid them physically first. Physical avoidance is very, very important. That's why sannyasa itself is prescribed. Stand alone, so that you will not think about your body for long time. If you stand with another person, naturally other person will remind you that you are my husband, you are my wife, you are my son, you are my father. All these relationships what? Make me to remind myself that I am body. Therefore only sannyasa was prescribed. If not possible external sannyasa, at least internal sannyasa every sadhaka should have. Therefore physically avoid. All sense objects are compared to Vali. In Ramayana there is a character called Vali. He has very peculiar power. By nature he is a very powerful person. And he has one more power. Anybody comes in front of him to fight, that opponent's power, half of the power he will take. He is already powerful. And the opponent comes and stands in front of him. Because of one mala, which was given by Surya Devata, he gets the power of dragging opponent's power. Half of the opponent's power comes to this Vali. Similarly, when it is there as an object, it is an object. When it comes in front of me, when my mind is succumbed to that, what happened? The object becomes powerful object. All my discriminative power is carried away. We go to our central jail. Now and then sadhus from here, from our center, we go to our central jail. We meet all criminals who are given death sentence, who are given life sentence. When we go, what we find is, whatever they have done, 90% of the people are just by emotion they have done. A momentary emotion, a momentary defeat at the hands of the object of desire. At the hands of the object of desire, I am just defeated. Initially he was very powerful, he was not attracted by that object. Afterwards also, now also he thinks that I should not have done, that means it has no meaning in my life. But at that particular moment, he was defeated by that sense object, by that desire. Therefore, physical absence. Once they are in front of us, then half of the power will be taken. They will be more powerful. That's why all media people struggling to, what they do? Advertisement, what advertisement does? It brings an idea in your mind that if it comes in my life, I will be happy. So again and again, again and again, they just go on projecting. If you find that one moment you are powerful thinking person, you will not be attracted by that object. But you cannot be all the time thinking. So some moment will be there, suddenly Mercedes-Benz car. It will be added in your agenda. Already 3-4 agendas are there. So Mercedes-Benz car, immediately it will be added. And to get it, it is nice, it is nice, it is nice, it is nice. As long as it is nice, okay. It is a nice Bhagavan's creation. Then slowly, if it come, I will be happy. If it come, I will be happy. If it will come, I will be happy. Then again, third stage, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Then fourth, I should get it, I should get it, I should get it. Then gone. So, avoid at least physically all the situations which may create strong emotions, strong raga dvesha, which will bring back the good old samsari personality. Because this person, this sadhaka, about whom now Bhagavan is talking, has almost crossed 95% of his journey of spiritual life. Just one jump. When he comes back, means spiritual fall, very sorrowful affair it happens. Therefore, put a fence around you, by a disciplined life, put a fence around you, protect the plant called jnanam. The world cannot attract us without entering through our sense organs. Panchabhutatmakam jagat, fivefold external objects only are there in the world. Shabda, rupa, rasa, gandha. These type of fivefold external objects can enter in my mind through sense organs if I put a strong security at the gate of the sense organ, then I can avoid. Once the terrorist enters the area, what happens? We all know. If borders are not kept properly vigilant, once 3-4 terrorists only they enter, how much havoc they create? Because after their entering, you don't have capacity to stop them. After taking water which is full of bacteria and virus, you don't have capacity to stop its working. So there are bacteria and viruses are in the thought form also. You just enter in front of Google Mama and do something, some letter you type, he brings about 1,000 websites. Innocently you go to that website, gone you are. Suddenly it pops off. Pops off means where? It pops off into the mind. As even you grow in spiritual life, your mind becomes very sensitive. Those things you do not have mind at all before starting spiritual life. After becoming a sadhaka, your mind becomes very sensitive. Certain words, certain vision, certain sight will disturb you. Therefore, Bhagavan says, have a disciplined life, have a fence around your physical personality, especially with regard to the eye and the ear. They are the more powerful. Even if I don't want, if I go to the road, lot of posters and the banners. I cannot say you don't see eye. And I cannot close the eye and walk in the road. So have a strong security. That is the Bhagavan's first advice. Why should I have that type of carefulness? Why should I be so much alert? Here Bhagavan says, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Problem is not with the external world. Problem is in my mind in the form of desires. Bhagavan says, even though you are very alert, but there are potential threat in your own mind in the form of samskaras, in the form of value for that object. That will again reignite your desire and make you to run towards it. Sense control is a temporary technique, like withdrawal of tortoise. If any animal is very intelligent, simply it can put upside down the tortoise and eat it, destroy it. It's a temporary technique to escape from the danger. We should not stop with that technique. Physical and sensory withdrawal is a temporary technique. And we should establish in Atma Jnanam and destroy the entire Vasana also from the mind by repeatedly seeing the truth. By repeatedly seeing the Vedantic truths, I should get away from these samskaras also. Here Bhagavan says, Niraharasya Dehinaha Vishayaha Vinivartante. If you don't take food, your stomach will fast. So there is no Vishaya, food, in the form of food. Now you are abstained from that food. But as long as you have a desire for that food, and there is every possibility that again that particular food will come to your life. When a sadhaka does not feed his sense organs with unwanted sensory objects, then the sadhaka is called Niraharaha. Ahara means food. Not only through mouth, we take food through all the five sense organs. Niraharasya means for him Vishayaha Vinivartante. Certainly there is no sensory pleasures. But Rasavarjam is there. Except Rasa. Rasavarjam means except Rasa, the sadhaka doesn't have any sense pleasure except the taste for those pleasures. But still the taste lingers in his mind. As long as this rasam or like or taste is there as a seed in his mind, then there is every possibility for him to fall back once again in the old habits, like a drunkard. He has undergone so much of suffering because of this bad habit, and he has decided to give up also. And he had been given counseling also, and he was trying 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, but still there is a taste in his mind. Still there is a value for that particular substance in his mind. Once you remove all the external obstacles, he may go back to the old habits. Like some of the devotees are there who go to Shabarimala. It is a good religious practice, but what we find is they suppress the desire for 40 days or 42 days, and they are counting the days. 1 day over, 2 day over, 3 days over. Because at that time religious vow is taken, we should not eat meat or drink or something. So this fellow who has this habit, he is not out of danger. He has a like for that particular substance. He has a value in his mind for that substance. Therefore what he does, even though he practices external avoidance, external fasting it is called, but internally there is a like. So he counts the day as even the darshan is over. While coming from that Shabarimala itself, old personality has come back. He goes as a religious person and he comes as a spiritual person with a particular spirit. Understand? Similarly, we have this example in our Shivaratri day we fast, Ekadeshi day we fast. That day particularly, those who are sincere in that fasting, they will fast properly. But mind will be telling, today I am fasting, tomorrow I have to make up, today I am fasting, tomorrow I have to make up. So after fasting is over, double the item goes quantity wise and quality wise. Aturasya api, for a patient also, since there was no chance for him to have these sense pleasures, he also withdraws. He also withdraws, but this withdrawal is a temporary affair. This value or taste for that object should go away. Why this taste is there in my mind? Because of ignorance. That this particular object is going to make me a Purna Vastu. How? I am finite. Now that also is finite. Finite plus finite, how can be infinite? Finite plus finite is equal to finite only. It cannot be infinite. Ignorance that external object is the source of happiness. Vedanta Parampara, they have a story of a dog. I might have told in other classes. There is a pet dog in a posh house. Nicely the dog is taken care of. Only one thing is prohibited, non-vegetarian. Separate bed was given and nice cloths and nicely perfumed. The dog can enter the bedroom and lie along with the master. But still dog has taste or value for dry bone. So it waits for the master to get away and waits for a strolling. When it finds master is not that much alert, suddenly it finds a bone. Immediately you can observe this. Immediately don't take. It will take that bone and hide it somewhere else, waiting for some other opportunity to have it. So it goes there when the master is absent and tries to eat it. According to dog, dry bone is not dry bone, it is a flesh. It is a flesh with red hot blood. While biting, bone pricks into the mouth of the dog, blood comes. So dog thinks, before biting this blood was not there. After stopping biting, this blood will not be there. During biting only this blood is there. Therefore dry bone is the source of blood. What is the source of blood actually? His own body is the source of blood. But dog has that dog philosophy. One Vedanta Acharya used to tell, dog can afford to have that philosophy, but the human being should not have this philosophy. As long as something is absent, I am incomplete. In its presence, I am complete. By having it, I am going to have Ananda, means it is called dog philosophy. I am the Purna Vastu, I am the source of all the Ananda. Raso Vaisaha Upanishad says. When this is forgotten, when this is not established in the mind, still I will have the taste or like for that external object. This should be again and again brought into the mind that there is a dichotomy in the mind, that one part says sarvam khalu idam brahma, entire thing is Brahman. Who is that Brahman? Aham Brahmasmi. He does japa also, but another part says I want that object. When sarvam khalu idam brahma means I am that sarvam. So there is a dichotomy in his mind. This dichotomy has to be removed. There is a split personality. Intellectual personality and emotional personality are not one. He is not an integrated person. In one situation, whenever he is in sadhu sangha, conducive atmosphere wherein he can go through that Vedantic teaching, he is one person. Whenever he is with somebody or alone, he is another person. This dichotomy has to go. When it will go? Bhagavan says, asya rasaha api param drishtva nivartate. Unless I have a taste for that external object, I will not go for it. We don't have taste towards many external objects. Everybody cannot have taste for every object in the world. We don't have taste towards poison. Do you have taste? Any liking? Any plan? We don't have it. We don't have taste for balloons, toys. But another type of balloon is there in our life. Another type of toys are there in our life. That rasaha api param drishtva nivartate. Param drishtva means atma jnanam dhridi karanam krutva. Param drishtva means this knowledge about my infinitude should be strong. Aham eva tat paramartha tattvam idi atma jnanam dhridi krutva nivartate. I am that. Where is the question of second entity towards which I can have desire? This atma jnanam should become strong. Vedanta says, kimichan kasya kamaya. After knowing this fact that I am become everything, desiring which sense object I can go out, desiring for whose sake, because the very individuality is destroyed. Kimichan kasya kamaya. Where is the desirer? There is no desirer at all. There is no object of desire at all. Everything myself. Here param drishtva doesn't mean vision of God. Param means Bhagavan. What type of Bhagavan? Whether with form or without form. Some commentators write that param drishtva means with form also you can take. Vedanta, especially Shankaracharya, doesn't agree with that. He says, aham eva tat param brahma. Aham eva tat paramartha tattvam. Because vision of God doesn't guarantee destroying the desires. All Rakshasas had visions of God. All Rakshasas. They did lot of tapas. Either Shivaji came or Narayana came or Brahmaji came. All had. Even take Ravana himself. He saw Bhagavan Shiva. But still his samsara did not end. Therefore here in this context, param drishtva means the knowledge that I am everything. That should be a firm knowledge. Jnana nishta, jnana dhridi karanam is called here param drishtva. There is nothing other than me for which I can have a special taste. When the mind finds an higher anandaha, then automatically gives up lower vishaya anandaha. What is the mechanism here? Bhagavan says when param drishtva, the very rasa also, rasa for vishaya ananda also goes away. What is the mechanism? This person's mind has already received a higher anandaha in the form of jnana anandaha. Three types of ananda is talked in Vedanta. One is vishaya anandaha, ananda received through sense organs by the association of sense objects. Second one is bhajana anandaha. First one is bhojana anandaha or vishaya anandaha. Second one is bhajana anandaha. There is a higher ananda when we pray, when we do bhajan, when we hear this type of spiritual discourses, we have a sense of satisfaction, a sense of happiness, a sense of purnatvam. But that also temporary only. After finishing bhajan, he goes out and sees his slipper is missing, all bhajan ananda has gone. So the divine vision also comes under that category only. Because Bhagavan comes and says, oh devotee, I am pleased with you, what do you want? Already lot of lists according to your maturity. Either you'll ask for list or you'll prostrate by getting up. You see, he has already disappeared. He has to bless other people also. In that way, they are all temporary. Either Vishayananda or Bhajananda, both are temporary. But there is a highest ananda in the form of Jnana Ananda. In the form of knowledge, knowledge about the reality of oneness, knowledge about the truth. I, that particular truth, which encompasses the entire universe, wherein there is no second entity, either to give me pleasure or to give me pain. In that knowledge comes the Jnana Ananda. When Jnana Ananda comes, naturally, a person doesn't depend upon anything external. Whole thing is only dependent. Because of this knowledge, I find that there is nothing second thing. Kimichan kasya kamaya, knowledge comes. That time I don't depend upon. Therefore, unless a person is completely established in this Jnana Ananda, there is a danger of fall. Therefore, a seeker should be always alert up to Jnana Nishta. Up to this establishment in that knowledge, he should be very, very alert. He should engage his sense organs in a proper direction. You cannot shut your sense organs and keep quiet. You have to use it. Bhagavan says, you have to control it. Control means two meanings are there. One is control means don't allowing it to act at all. Another is giving a proper direction. Proper direction should be given. That is why all these sadhakas are asked to worship. Going to temples, doing seva, guru seva or ashrama seva or samaj seva. Something or the other, in higher thing, you go on, engage your mind. Because your sense organs cannot be simply stopped and shut down. These sense organs should be engaged in elevating fields. Vishayananda should be transformed by gaining Bhajanananda initially. And even that Bhajanananda should be transformed as Jnanananda. Ultimately, that is the road.
Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabhammanaha.
In this shloka, Bhagavan gives a warning for a spiritual seeker. Warning about what? About the power of sense organs. If you won't get established in this higher Jnanananda, your temporary sense control will not help much. It will come back again. Temporary sense control is a temporary method, temporary technique. Within that time, you should establish yourself in that highest knowledge. Otherwise, they are very powerful. He says, sense control is not that much easy. You cannot keep it all the time as controlled one. If the seeker is not alert, these sense organs can delude even the well-informed and struggling person. Seeker is a struggler. A seeker after knowledge is struggling to get established in the higher truth. He is well-informed person, but still, indriyani, pramathini, sense organs are very powerful. They violently, they can churn. Churn what? Manaha, indriyani, pramathini. It can churn the mind. Mat means to churn. Matnati. Mati means that which churns. Churning rod it is called. Pramathini means powerful churning rod. How many churning rods we have? Not one. You imagine a pot with full of curds. One churning rod is enough to disturb that curd. Bhagavan says, human mind is such a pot with five churning rods. So, we should be very, very careful with regard to them. They churn what? Manaha pramathini. Of whom? Not ordinary person's mind. Yatataha vipaschitaha purushasya manaha api indriyani pramathini. He is a person of well informed. He knows all Vedanta. He knows aham brahmasmi. Everything he knows. Page after page he can reel out. Shlokas after shlokas. While giving lectures also, nicely he can reel out. But in actual life, if he is weak with a particular desires, then they can churn the mind. How it can churn the mind? Prasabham aranti, Bhagavan says. They violently rob the mind. That mind which is endowed with, it's not an ignorant mind. It has gone through so much of religious practices. It has known the futility of the external world. it has suffered and decided to be a vairagi and declared to the world that I am the spiritual seeker and went to the guru, asked his guidance and learnt Vedanta, even if these indriyani pramathini, even while the intellect, one part of his intellect will tell, hey, it is wrong, it is wrong, it is wrong, sense organs will laugh at him, laugh at that intellect. One Vedanta acharya is to tell, it is a daytime crime. Even if security persons are there, terrorists come and laugh and finishes you. It is a daytime crime. Not that he is ignorant of the fact that it is going to be a downfall for him. He knows that he is going to fall. And his mind gives alertness, warning also. He struggles also. He struggles to get away from that. But still, the sense organs have that capacity of deluding. It laughs at the intellect and says, okay, you have your Vedanta, I will go through my own old samsaric ways. That's why when somebody hurts us, goes on repeating those words. He told this, he told that. What he told? Simple words, that's all. Simple sound. All sounds doesn't make disturbance, doesn't create disturbance. But certain words, they call it trigger zones. You trigger that zone, that fellow is gone. Bomb will be there. Somewhere else you trigger. Somewhere else bomb will blast. That alertness of the intellect is silenced. Make the mind to go towards the sense objects. It is a daytime crime. In Ramayana, we come across the situation. Sita, all the time Sitaji was very happy with Ramji. She never desired for anything. Casually gave up all the palace and its sophisticated life. She was just living with him for last 13 years without any comfort. But one moment of her life, somehow or the other, she got a desire for that dear, dear. That ordinary dear became Sitaji's dear, dear. What happened? What is the consequence? We all know. All the time she was enjoying the presence of, spiritual presence of Rama, who happened to be this embodiment of spiritual ananda. Once she desired for this object, external object, that time Lakshmana says, Ramji, this is not a actual deer, it is delusion. No deer can have diamonds and other things. Intellect gives warning. Lakshmana is the intellect. Intellect gives warning. Bhagavan is, whatever you want, you will get. So far you told, I want you, so he was with you. When you say, I want deer, okay, I will go and bring that deer. So, separation happened. Golden deer represents sense objects. Rama represents spiritual ananda. Lakshmana represents intellect. And Sitaji represents poor jiva. She never desired anything. But one moment of her life, she desired something in the form of deer and she paid very dearly for next 10 months. Therefore, even an informed person can be distracted in a moment of event and fall spiritually. Therefore, one should be very, very alert. More details we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmani Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namo.